Welcome back to the program. Few places in the world combine the raw energy, the excitement, and the anxiety of Mumbai, India, a place where the central issues of our time, religion, sex, and politics, all merge into a kind of dense urban miasma that Bollywood sometimes captures from a cinematic sense, but that our guest, prize-winning author Manel Suri, captures from a human perspective. Manel Suri is the author of the best-selling Death of Vishnu. He's also a professor of mathematics at the University of Maryland, and it is my pleasure to welcome him back to this program to talk about his newest novel, The City of Devi. Manel Suri, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Great to have you here. Talk first about the sense of place, the excitement, that the raw energy that a place like Mumbai captures.
Well, Mumbai is such a diverse city. It has so many different communities, languages, income levels, and it's just glittering in every respect. And it's also full of people. I mean, you're constantly jostled by the crowds and by the energy. So in terms of actually writing about a place, I don't think I could write about anything else.
And yet, it's more than just the surface, as gleaming as it is, as glittering as you say that it is. It is really the people and what's going on with them that really captures the essence of the city.
Yes, and it's the fact that there are so many different communities that are really in very close quarters, and they somehow have to make a go of it. They have to sort of coexist. And once in a while, there is a lot of friction, and that kind of erupts. And hopefully it's tamped down, but sometimes, you know, awful things can happen there too.
What impact does it have, and this is a sort of a core of City of Devi, the impact that it has in amping up relationships of any kind of interpersonal relationships, is somehow amped up by the energy of the city itself?
Yeah, again, it's that closeness that people have next to each other. In this book, for instance, there's Sarita, whose husband, she's someone who's a statistician. She's not sure about how she feels about her own attractiveness, and when she finds Karun, her husband, she really puts all her energy into him, and when he disappears, she has to look for him because he's her only hope.
Talk a little bit about the story, these two people searching for each other.
What's happened is that the city has been split apart into Muslim and Hindu areas, and Sarita's husband has disappeared in the midst of this war that is going on, and she has to negotiate these gangs that are roving through the streets to find him. And she's not sure what's going on with her marriage because things have not gone the way she expected, and she has to find not only Karun, her husband, but also the secret behind her marriage.
And talk a little bit about these characters, who they are.
Karun is actually a physicist. He's very shy. He's almost like a very reclusive character, almost like Shiva, who's you know, the god of asceticism. And then there's another character, Jazz, who's gay and who's a Muslim. And he's kind of really far out. He's very much very open, very honest. He's very honest about his own sexuality, and he's also very irreverent. He's everything is a one-liner for him. So he's also looking for his lover, whom he has lost.
There's also this pomegranate that runs through the story. Talk a little bit about the significance of that that Sarita carries with her.
So on the one hand, the pomegranate seems like a very overripe symbol. You know, it's supposed to be an aphrodisiac according to the Kama Sutra, and you think that, okay, this is some sort of ancient trope that this author has pulled out from somewhere, but it actually reveals something towards the end in a very different way from what you might expect. Sarita is, you know, always losing this pomegranate and then finding it again, and there are other elements like that which are sort of exotic, almost like an elephant, and those are sort of put in to kind of play with this whole idea of the East being exotic, and it's really a ride which incorporates all of these different elements, including Bollywood, as you mentioned.
Talk a little bit about what happens as these characters go through Mumbai and the overlay of potential nuclear war.
Since there is this threat hovering over everything, where the city might be destroyed in 4 days, the question is, how will you spend your last 4 days? How will these characters spend their last 4 days. And that's why they take enormous risks to find the people that they love. So in one scene, there's a train that sort of goes off the tracks, and then there is also a presence that has somehow descended to Earth, and that's a manifestation of the mother goddess, the Devi. And she actually comes from a Bollywood film called Super Devi. That's part Slumdog Millionaire and part Superman. So she might actually save the city, or she might destroy it, and everyone is seeking her as well.
It also changes our perception of India as a place of arranged marriages and very formalized relationships. That's just not the case at all.
Absolutely not. Over here, especially in a city like Bombay or Mumbai, things have moved very fast. So when I was there just recently this year, there was an entire issue that was of Time Out Mumbai that was devoted to gay life in the city. And you just won't see that a few years back. So I'm sort of peeling back those well-known ideas of what constitutes life in India, and just revealing that underneath there are all these different strands of life that are coexisting, including, you know, things that you might think are too westernized to really be there.
And the other aspect is it seems the population is always changing because there are new people coming into the city all the time.
Yes, absolutely. If you actually, I don't know what the statistics are, but there are thousands and thousands of people that migrate from the rural areas into the city. And this is sort of woven into the story in a way, just because this movie, Super Devi, that's been such a big hit around the world, it's also being used by religious fundamentalists in the villages where people are less educated to spread the message that this mother goddess wants to clear the land of all minorities, in particular Muslims, and that's what causes a lot of the strife in the country and in the world, actually.
What is the thing that we most misunderstand, that you think Westerners most misunderstand about India and a place like Mumbai?
I think one of the things about India in general and Mumbai in particular is that there is always multiple points of view. You know, we are sort of trained to not look at a picture and seek just one focal point, but there's always multiple focal points. So if you look at any picture of India, you might see that there's all this other stuff going on. If you read a book from India, like even the classics like the Ramayana and so on, there are multiple strands and multiple things that are happening. It's things going on under the surface, things going on the surface. So I think that's what people in the U.S. might have the hardest time with.
How fast are things changing there? You talked about gay life and how different that is now than it might have been several years ago. How fast is the culture changing?
It's changing very fast. I think in that sense, just the fact that people are so connected to the internet, people are so globalized, things, you know, are just instantaneous now. And that's one of the things with this character, Jazz. He's actually grown up all over the world, and he's sort of a symbol for that, of how ideas from the West are interacting with the society in India. So it's also give and take. I think we are seeing things from India quite instantaneously as well.
Talk about your other life, your career as a mathematician and as a professor of mathematics, and how that in some way shapes your perception of all of this, if it does at all.
Well, I think just being a mathematician is you know, it's something that creates a great balance from to being a writer. I think I approach this with great trepidation in terms of actually introducing math to the public, which is so math phobic. So even in this book, I have a statistician, not a mathematician. I figured I'll take it one step at a time. So Sarita is a statistician as a character. I think what I do when I'm writing a book is I do sort of think as a mathematician very analytically. For example, in this book, at one point I was really going through all the possible plot outlines that I could think of, much like you would plot out a chess game and see what were the different strategies that you could follow. And I kept coming up with a blank wall. I kept coming up with things that were too trite or unbelievable, and I figured out finally, at one point, that I had a mathematical proof that this novel could not be completed. Fortunately, I was wrong. So there's a danger of letting the mathematician take over too much from the writing point of view.
Manel Suri, his new novel is The City of Devi. It's just out from W.W. Norton. Manel, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.